to the DJ New Style Show. I'm over here fucking your mother, you fucking dick knob.
When I'm out walking, I strut my stuff, and I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite, I just might stop to check you out. Let me go wild.
Style show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homos didn't touch it.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Donna! Have you tried the coffee yet?
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusive Tuesday night programming on Hear Us Talk. It's hearustalk.com. But listen, we can't get into any of these details just yet. The Germans grow impatient. Rammstein! Just let them play out. I'm gonna let this ride out right now. I know that when I'm saying I wanna let shit ride out too long, I've listened to the last Jay-Z album a little bit too much. A little bit too much. Let me just fade it out professionally. This is the DJ New Style Show. No time for fucking music, none of that stuff. Excuse my language, I'm just a little flustered. Had a little bit of a technical problem here, but here to alleviate all that stress is your friend and mine, the Germ Freak. How are you tonight?
Alright. Listen, you know, the first time I suggest a song that you actually utilize and you fuck it up. You fucked it up.
Oh, okay. Now, I want to just point out to you that you were the first to use more than one instance of the F word tonight.
Oh.
You called me the potty mouth. You said I couldn't be controlled. I had no couth. I had no class.
I feel that you used the F word as a crutch a lot of times.
You think it's a crutch. I admit there are instances of it being a crutch. But then there are pure, deliberate, intentional uses of the word fuck. Like, fuck you, Frank. And fuck your song choice.
Have you ever used the word fuck in front of your parents?
Yeah, and I think it was just as filler. It's never like, hey, mom, banging fucking ham tonight. Never. It was just maybe like I couldn't get my words out quick enough. So instead of it becomes fuck.
At what age were you when you were able to curse in front of your parents without feeling uncomfortable?
Able to? I mean, I think
age.
I know you're able to at any age, and
well, I think you know what I'm talking.
I never did feel comfortable. I still kind of don't, but I'd say after high school, I felt truly comfortable conversing like an adult to my parents. And by when I say conversing like an adult, I mean being able to use certain words, such as fuck, such as
now,
shit.
Yes. Now, like when you said curses when you were younger, did your parents really get mad at you or yell at you and stuff or what?
You get the little almost the slap on the wrist. Hey, watch that not in front of your mother.
My kids are discovering curse words.
I wonder sure why they're discovering these words. How is it that you? I was over your house. I completely mopped the floor with you in a few Wii Sports games. We're not going to get into that tonight. We've already established that I'm the Wii champion of Heroes Talk. That's right, best in show. You have yet to put forth a worthy competitor. But the thing is, I went over there, and your 4-year-old son was pointing out how his father would lose in baseball or mess up, and he would say, "My daddy says fuck!" And he was so proud. He was so proud to tell me that as a guest in his house. So you're saying they're starting to discover these words. It's not like they're peeking about and spelunking in the English language and pulling out these gems. They're being force-fed them because you're around them.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of a trucker's mouth sometimes.
But I'm the one with no class.
All right. So what else is going on?
No, you want to take all these pot shots about language, but you're the one who's just letting it fly, throwing it all out there. But you did pick a song. It's probably the first time I ever let you get away with picking the intro.
Yeah, and you screw it up.
I screwed it up. Yeah,
you screwed it up.
It'll be fixed. People that download this won't hear the mess up. Maybe I should leave it now. I don't know. I never know what to do. I always wanted to make it. I want to make it sound good. I want to make it sound as I intended. So, I mean, I was kind of hoping you wouldn't harp on that mistake because I was going to fix it so that the people that download this won't even be aware. But now they're brought fully into the light.
Did you see the room text? I mean, people were going crazy. You know, what's going on with the double this and double that? And
quite frankly,
Boder had a heart attack, for Christ's sake.
I blame Boder.
Well, he had a heart attack.
I blame him. Yeah, have a heart attack all you want. But when you accidentally get the microphone, you know, you gotta know what you're doing. You gotta know what you're doing. If you step up into the big leagues, that is Pal Talk Chat, you need to know how to handle yourself. You hit control, and you let go of control. If somebody's speaking, you don't jack the mic. I know all the terms, Frank. I know all the words. But you picked this song, and you claim to have had a reason for picking the Violent Femmes' Blister in the Sun. Now, what was your reasoning for selecting this? I can't wait to hear
Take a wild goddamn guess.
How deep and poetic this is. Is this a song that maybe you listen to going through a difficult stage in your life? Is this something that you and your wife like to dance about? to frolic in your living room too? Why is it that you picked this song?
I had a blister underneath my testicles. So I wanted to just play it, the song.
So, because you had a blister under your testicles, you wanted to hear a song that had the word blister in the title.
Yeah, just to make myself feel better, make light of it a little bit, because I had this blister underneath my scrotum.
So how do you get a blister under your scrotum?
Well, you know, I'm suffering from some type of rash that's spreading throughout my entire body. It's pretty much eating me alive. It started in my groin area, my pubic bone. My testicles, and now it's my inner thighs and my buttocks.
Wait,
so
this rash has spread
that
far?
Yes.
And have you sought out any kind of medical attention?
I took this. Rob Giggs suggested something called Locherman.
Oh, so Dr. Rob Giggs helped you out. Not only is he running our sound for the audio feed on Hear Us Talk, he's also giving medical advice for you and your scrotal blister. That's amazing. Why don't you go to a real doctor?
Well, maybe we'll hear from a real doctor. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe we will. Maybe in about in a few minutes we'll have a real doctor call in. Whenever, quite frankly. Because you have so many ailments, it's not even...
Well, don't you have some type of cyst yourself?
I think it's a cyst. I have a weird little growth under my leg. I've had it for years now. And periodically, I'm able to squeeze it and pop it like a zit in this disgusting, foul... It looks like a zit, but it's really smelly. It's extra smelly, and it's disgusting. And I can't stop. Once I get a little bit of that the cyst cheese out of it, I can't stop trying to get it. And I always have to sniff it. Do you ever pop anything and you have to smell it to see?
Why do you feel the need to smell it?
I need to know what I'm dealing with.
Do you get off on the smell?
I don't get off on it. It's repulsive. It's disgusting.
But yet you can't stop.
I can't. Once I know, I need to see how bad it is. So I'll squeeze under my leg, look at my finger. Maybe I have some of the pus or whatever it is on my finger. And I'm like, okay, I got something here. Oh, that's terrible. And if my girlfriend's around, I'll bring it right to her. I'm like, you gotta smell this. This is disgusting.
Now, who's your girlfriend now?
My girlfriend is Amanda.
Oh, okay.
We've brought her up several times. And you've met her, so please.
Oh, that's true.
Don't act like you don't know who she is.
Well, the people don't know who she is, so I'm bringing it to the forefront.
Well, it looks like we have a caller here. Perhaps they can help us out with a little bit of what's going on. You're on the DJ New Style show with Germ Freak. Who might this be?
What up, DJ New Style and Germ Freak? It's Dr. Steve and PA John.
What up?
Dr. Steve and PA John. Now, you're not a guy who can just run audio for an internet radio station. You're an actual doctor, correct?
That is correct, my friend.
You do provide medical advice. You do treat patients.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if you've heard what we were describing, but Frank...
No.
Requested that I played Violent Femmes' Blister in the Sun, not for any sentimental reason, but because he has a blister under his testicles. And Frank, why don't you go ahead and explain it, please?
Now, you know what it is, Doctor. First of all, Dr. Steve, I want to thank you very much for calling in. I'm developing this rash in my inner thighs, my testes, my pubic bone. It's a very itchy rash. My skin looks like it's turning brownish, and it drives me crazy. What could be the cause of that?
Well, lots of things. Are you sweaty? Are you a sweaty guy?
Well, I do sweat between my thigh and my ball sack.
Okay, and what kind of underwear do you wear?
Oh, sexy.
Not that it
right,
matters,
in, right into it, Dr. Steve, aren't you? You visual guy, Dr. Steve?
You know what?
I thought we could go to dinner first, you know what I'm saying? You know what?
It actually does matter.
I'm embarrassed to say this because people are going to make fun of me, but I do wear tidy whities.
Okay, that's actually good.
Oh.
Well, boxers, here's the thing. When you, and how old are you?
I'm 38.
Bullshit.
Okay. When you get a little older and the old nutsack becomes more like, saltwater taffy than, as firm as it was before, and it starts getting stuck against the thighs when you're sitting, then, you know, there's two pieces of skin that are slammed together, and the sweat kind of collects in there, and it's a real good medium for yeast to grow.
Sounds like you have experience with this, Dr. Steve.
So what, now,
what's that?
Sounds like you have experience with this.
Well, absolutely. Well, I see it all the time. But tidy whities are good because it actually keeps the nutsack from, from just laying against the thighs. But if you're still sweating a lot, then you could be making a yeast infection in that area. And it's just right on the surface of the skin. We all have yeast that lives on the surface of our skin. It's just when you put sweat and you take the oxygen away that this yeast can grow. Now, I'll give you something that you can do if you have access to a black light.
Can we just stop for a second and just laugh at Germ Freak for having a yeast infection?
It's a real common thing, and that's it's one of the most common places to see it. Now, you'll see it in big, fat people who have a gut that hangs up over their pelvis. You'll see
Excuse
it under
me?
The folds in there.
Excuse me?
You can see it any time that there's two pieces of skin that are slammed together and stay that way for periods of time. But if you take a black light and shine it on it, if it glows a salmon pink color, that's actually an unusual condition called erythrasma, and it will not resolve with regular anti-yeast stuff. You have to actually take an antibiotic for that. So that would be something, and a lot of doctors aren't even familiar with erythrasma. I've only seen one case of it in my career, although I've shined a whole lot of black lights on a whole lot of crotch rashes, hoping that I would find one. You know, I finally did one day, and it was a very exciting day. But
probably not as exciting for the guy you found it on, the salmon pink sack skin. By the way, I'm a little taken aback that I've never heard a doctor, use the word nutsack in a description of a disease. But you know what? I welcome it. I like more casual descriptions.
Well, I'm a big fan of, I think doctors need to be a lot less stuffy, and I don't think he need to be inappropriate. But I think you should always take the audience that you're talking to into account when you're describing something. And, I could say scrotum and testes all day, and people would just start tuning me out, And it's, if you say nut sack and balls, then, people know what you're talking about.
So now,
we're speaking the same language.
So now you say you have to put a black light on it so that you can see it turn a salmon color. Germ, do you actually own a black light?
I mean, who doesn't?
I certainly don't. Frank, do you own a black light?
I do not, no.
Okay, so why don't we just go down to Bar A? We'll go on a Saturday night. You pull the old sack out. We'll see if in between pumping fists and gelling your lack of hair, if your nuts turn into a delicious salmon fillet. Then we'll know.
And when they throw you out, you can just say, "I was looking for erythrasma, man."
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So
should I continue with my next ailment?
Well, I mean, continue, because you're saying it's spread. It's not isolated, Frank?
What's that?
Your ailment that you're describing.
No, well, I have a couple of other ailments that I just wanted to get some free advice.
Well, Frank, let me ask you this before we get off the subject. Have you tried actually putting anything on this?
I tried something called Lotrimin.
Okay. And did it make any difference at all?
I'm detecting a subtle difference, yes. It is getting the itch is wearing down a little bit. But the problem is, it's you gotta, they say apply it twice a day, and I'm going through three tubes a day almost, you know what I'm saying? There's very small tubes. But I didn't know if there was some type of antibiotic. Is it because also, could it be from the fact that after I shower, I may not dry there good enough with the towel?
Sure, any kind of moisture, doesn't have to be sweat. I mean, any H2O will do it. And it's a function of darkness, coolness, skin smashed together, and wetness. Oh. And lack of oxygen where there's two pieces of skin slammed together, there's not a lot of oxygen going on there. So, all of those conditions will, be a perfect medium for gross things to grow. You could try, there's another thing on the market called Lamisil, and it's only once a day, and you could try it. If that doesn't work, you're just going to have to go see a dermatologist.
Now, is Lamisil the same thing that's used for the toenails with the fungus?
Yes, but they've got a cream that you can buy over the counter.
Okay.
And these things used to be prescription strength, and they just put them over the counter because there's really no big downside to them. You could try some powder in there, and the other thing, I've seen people that just have serious sweating problems will take two pieces of gauze and shove it up in the space between their nutsack and their thigh, and then pull their underwear up and hold it there all day, and it kind of wicks away the moisture.
they're putting in something to sop up the nut sweat.
Yes, exactly.
So basically, people like this have like a bog, some kind of a marsh growing in their pants that's
exactly
causing this
bog
condition.
A bog is a good word. That was a good word.
A rattling bog you have right by your nuts.
Exactly.
Jeez. So these are like man maxi pads for Frank's yeast infection.
Yeah, for the yeast infection and the sweat and the bog crotch.
That's a new term. I want to hear this written up in some journal. Bog crotch. You can use Frank's picture.
I will use it.
Now, Frank, what else did you have? You had a couple of other somewhat serious things, I would say.
I think I and I'm being totally serious here because I've asked several people this, but I think I've coined a phrase. We've all heard of premature ejaculation, but I think is there a such term as post ejaculatory syndrome? And what I mean by that. What I mean by that is continuing to ejaculate after you've already ejaculated.
Basically drippy cock is the official term.
Is there any feeling with that at all? Or is it just dripping out sort of your orgasm is over and you're just dripping stuff out of your cock?
The orgasm is over with, yes, I just continue to leak out of my urethra.
For how long?
Probably about a half an hour to 45 minutes.
Oh, see, you're saying cock. I mean, I'm saying cock, and you're saying urethra. This is an interesting role reversal. But yes. Now, here's the thing. Let me ask you something. Do you have any trouble urinating?
No, I do not.
Well, I mean, trouble as far as, being able to or, being able to do it in an Arby's.
Your stream being decreased over what you used to be able to enjoy. Can you still knock the bark off a tree, I guess, would be the thing I would ask.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Okay, and have you had any trauma to your cock and balls at any time?
Could you, as far as what,
where you slammed your nuts or your penis into a table corner or something? You would remember.
No, but his nuts were involved in a terrible skateboarding accident.
Right. I mean, I could think of a dozen things that it could be, but that kind of thing. I mean, you would remember it. It wouldn't be something that was vague in your memory.
Right.
So no trauma. Okay.
No.
I actually have talked to a urologist friend of mine about this because this came up once before in my practice, and this is what he told me is that one of the things that can cause you to dribble semen after you've ejaculated is a stricture in the urethra. Because if you think about it, you've got the seminal vesicles or the things that produce the fluid part of the ejaculation, and they contract and they inject fluid into the urethra. Now, it follows the path of least resistance. So there's a little valve behind all of that that keeps, the semen from going into the bladder, right? Okay, we all cool on the anatomy. If you've got a narrowing in the urethra, then you could have all of this fluid going in there, and it would just dribble out over time. The problem with that theory with you is that it should cause problems with urinating, where you would notice a decrease in flow. Barring that, it's just the way you are, and it's nothing unusual, unless it's something brand new. Now, if this just happened, the other thing I would ask you is, have you had your blood sugar checked? Because you could have problems with ejaculation and start having yeast infections and stuff.
Sorry. Yeah.
Excuse me?
This is a little callback, but seriously, if you were diabetic, you could have both of these problems happening at the same time. So I'd get my blood sugar checked, and if it's normal, you're fine. The ejaculation part. Right.
So if it's normal, he just has a really long decrescendo for his,
exactly.
his ejaculation.
Exactly.
So, I mean, for example, a friend of mine, Ed McGrath, also suffers from post-ejaculatory syndrome. So it's not really necessarily that rare.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I know two people that have it, you and Ed McGrath.
But there you go. So right. two is better than none. I mean, there's documented cases now. It's awesome. Frank, I really want to get into this because that is really disgusting and borderline queer. But you do have a more serious issue that involves the place you shit from.
Wow, we're just covering all the bases. Tonight.
We have to. We're going from stem to literally stem to stern.
You mean my wiping techniques?
Yes, you're a mess down there.
You know what, doctor? I am a mess down there because I could wipe 150 times, and it's still not good enough.
Okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. We actually talked about this on John and my show, Weird Medicine, on XM202. And we had a guy call in with the exact same problem. You must have a hairy rectum. I'm right. Just,
wait, Frank, for the record, would you tell him your nationality?
I'm an Italian.
There you go. There's your answer,
okay.
Dr. Steve.
So you have a hairy rectum.
You know what? In all honesty, I've never looked at my rectum, but maybe I should start looking.
But you could feel down there and know. I mean, you know if you've got hair surrounding your asshole. And that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, you move your bowels, and then the hair is just kind of collecting fecal smear, and then it's impossible to get it off of there. Now, what happens in this country is people will just rub until they're completely raw, and then they get a thing called proctitis, where where they start having itching and bleeding and
well, that's what
hemorrhoids.
I do.
Yeah.
I have to wipe until I see blood on the tissue. I don't feel satisfied until I see red on the tissue.
Yeah. You know, they don't have this problem in France. And it's one of the few things that they do way, way, way better than we do.
Yeah,
and
they just don't
weird,
wipe.
Every French household has a bidet. And what they do is after they shit, they sit on the bidet and they wipe. And instead of wiping, they wash their ass with water. And they don't have nearly the amount of proctological, rectal problems that we have. One thing, if you can train yourself to move your bowels in the morning and then take your shower right afterward, you don't have to wipe nearly as much. You can just clean your disgusting ass off in the shower.
I usually do shower afterwards.
Okay. Then I would recommend if you do shower afterward is don't be so OCD about getting yourself that clean before you get in the shower. I know it's kind of, it's gross, but
well,
I mean, it's water. You can clean yourself off.
Right. But what happens is idealistically, I take showers afterwards, but sometimes, if I get an urge in the middle of the day, I really don't feel like taking because I'm not necessarily regular. I can go, 2 and 3 days without defecating.
Colon cancer.
And then, and then it hits me out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, let me tell you what to do in those times. You have a couple of options, and then here comes the gauze again. Some people will carry a little pack of gauze with them, and what they'll do is use a little soap and water from the, on a paper towel or something to rinse their butt. Then use the toilet paper to pat your butt dry, and then cram gauze between the two cheeks. And then pull your pants back up. And what that does is it keeps the ass cheeks, again, here's this problem with skin against skin, of slamming together with, feces between the ass cheeks until you can get home and get your shower. And that'll keep you from getting itchy. The other thing that I recommend is when you do wipe is use a little cocoa butter. And if you're really itchy, you can put a little bit of hydrocortisone cream on there and then just use that to apply it to your butt after you finish wiping.
Now, have you ever heard of anybody fusing their ass cheeks together? Because they were in a situation where they needed this gauze and they didn't want to have like a man tampon in their ass and they maybe just sat on the couch too long or something. Is there ever a case where their ass cheeks became fused?
If you sat like that for weeks, then it would happen. If you wiped your butt so it was so raw that it was bleeding and then sat and taped your ass cheeks together for weeks, you might be able to fuse them together temporarily.
But, Jesus Christ!
In the less than 24 hours that it would take between times that you're moving your bowels, no. That's a good question, though.
I'm curious about these things occasionally. I made a strict policy of only using 3 bunches of paper to wipe, rain or shine. If that last one comes up a little slick, oh well.
Well,
I'll take care of it on the spray down.
DJ Newstyle can literally move his bowels in like 60 seconds. He from sitting down to wiping to pulling up his pants, 60 seconds.
It's seriously six times a day. I have a very, very high gas-powered dump.
Wow.
Within literally 20 seconds, I'm completely done crapping.
Wow. What's your diet?
Grilled chicken, salad, oatmeal. That's really all I ever eat.
Yeah. Well, if you go to countries where they eat huge amounts of raw grain, like parts of Africa and stuff like that, they'll move their...
Uh-oh. Frank, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. You cut out for a little bit. You said that when they eat large amounts of raw grain, they'll move their bowels, and then you cut out.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6 times a day. And so that's probably what we were designed to do.
See,
So you're probably more normal than the rest of us.
My asshole is optimal, Frank. This is a function. I have an efficient ass. That's what I have, and I'm proud of it.
I think it's a function of how you were toilet trained when you were a kid, too, because, you know, I'm sitting on the pot reading. Gosh. I mean, that's just what I'm doing.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. Seriously.
Yeah, thank really. You're much more efficient.
Man. Doctor, I just want to ask you one more thing. Well,
I have something after him too. You know.
Well, go ahead.
I've had this little growth. I thought it was a pimple, but years and years ago, under my leg, I have something where I can squeeze it and produce some kind of like a cheesy, almost zit-like substance that really stinks. Now, I'm thinking it's a cyst. I don't really know.
Yeah.
That's what we call a epidermal inclusion cyst or a sebaceous cyst.
Nice.
And what they are is, if you think of skin, most people know that their skin sloughs off over time, right?
Yeah.
So all those little, you know, that you've got nice, fresh, growing skin cells, and then they mature into these flat, dry cells, and then they slough off. Well, if you take a little bit of living, reproducing skin and you drive it under the skin, like with a high-speed grain of sand at the beach, or you puncture yourself or something like that, that skin that's living will still continue to reproduce, but it's got no place to slough off. So it sloughs off into, you know, under the skin, and it will form a cyst. And that junk that's in the middle that stinks so bad is actually, you know, dried up skin cells that now are soaked in body fluid, and it just stinks to high heaven. And the problem with those is if they get infected. If you get a sebaceous cyst that's infected, it's a great culture medium for bacteria. It'll grow up about 10 times its regular size and just fill up with pus. And you talk about disgusting.
Hmm.
I mean, I took one that was at least 6 inches in diameter off a guy's back once, and that the pus just flew across the room when we opened it.
Oh,
it was just
man.
Unbelievable. And the stench, I mean, for weeks in that operating room, you could still smell it, so it's bad. So I usually recommend that you leave them alone, but if you've got...
Oh, man, he keeps... he cut out a little bit there.
Yeah.
The real... prone to getting infected, I would get those removed, or on the scalp. Anywhere else, you can pretty much leave it alone.
Hmm. All right, well, maybe I'll leave that one alone, because I was a little bit fascinated with cysts and cyst removal, so to the point where I created a thread on our forum, on Heroes Talk forums, heroestalk.com/forum, of YouTube videos of people doing at-home procedures to drain them.
There's whole websites on cyst draining. Because for some people, it's just really a satisfying thing. And for a doctor, it's one of the most satisfying things that we do. Because people come in with a big problem, and then you do something mechanical to it, and you drain out all this junk, and you really feel like you accomplished something. Whereas when you give somebody a blood pressure medicine, you know, they go away, and 2 weeks later, they come back, and maybe their blood pressure is a little better. But when you have something like a cyst or a thrombosed external hemorrhoid, boy, those are really satisfying to treat, too.
Or a fractured pelvis.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, P.A. John is a ortho guy, and so they do a lot of satisfying stuff. But for me, it's the good old thrombosed external hemorrhoid. People come in bent over in pain, and they walk out, you know, jumping on trampolines. So.
Frank, did you have any questions maybe regarding certain communicable diseases, acquired diseases perhaps? Anything of maybe how easy it is to receive certain diseases?
Are you talking about the disease that is an acronym?
Well, one of them, yes. We're talking about AIDS, obviously, HIV even.
Okay.
Frank, why don't you go ahead and explain some of the things?
Does the AIDS virus die as soon as it hits the air?
Wow. I know that it can't live very long on surfaces, but I honestly, I don't know the answer to that. I know it depends on what you mean by hitting the air.
Because
once it dries out, it dies, but if it's on skin, you know, skin's got some moisture to it, so, you know, there is risk there. But.
So if you say you have a bucket of blood, I mean, the surface may die, but underneath you're still going to have maybe AIDS.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. Right.
Okay. My situation is, you know, say, you know how they say you can't get AIDS from shaking somebody's hand?
Right.
If you shake somebody's hand and you have a cut in your hand and that person's got a cut in his hand and you rub wounds, then is there a possibility that AIDS can be transmitted? And in sense, and in essence, you can get AIDS from shaking somebody's hand.
I get, well, theoretically, but you'd be transferring body fluids if you did that. And so it's not really from the handshake, it's from the transferring of body fluids. I mean, you'd both have to have, you know, mangled hands and then grasp each other's hands and hold them there. Now, here's the thing. If you get stuck with a needle that's been in an AIDS patient's arm, for example, I think the risk is something like 1 in 250. So it's the vast, vast majority of people that get stuck with a needle that's AIDS infected will still not convert to HIV.
One in 250.
The risk is still way low.
There is a difference between a bored needle, which is a needle that you would give an injection with, versus a needle that you would sew somebody up with, something that doesn't have a bore.
Yeah, like a knitting needle or something.
Yeah, correct.
The old trick of check your movie seat, the seat in the movie theater, because somebody puts AIDS needles in them. Like there's some AIDS fairy that's going to go around and put needles in every single seat that you might sit into.
Never heard of a single person getting HIV that way. Now, there was that case of the people that went to that dentist that apparently he was injecting them on purpose. And that was in the news for a while, when the AIDS epidemic first started. And I think the last I heard that was a real story, but I think there was, even of his patients, there was only one that actually got HIV, and it was questionable where it came from. But that's the only case I've heard of anybody intentionally infecting somebody.
There goes Frank taking care of his teeth. Thanks, Dr. Steve. He's never gonna get dental treatment again now.
But that was that story, if you remember it, that was 10 years ago at least. And I haven't heard anything since then. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's the odds of that are vanishingly small.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm stepping on you.
No, that's okay, Frank. Now you're not as bad. You're not as worried about AIDS as you had been in the past.
Correct, correct.
I mean, obviously everybody might be concerned about it a little bit, but I think back when you were a little bit worse off with your OCD, you were pretty concerned about it?
Yeah, you could say that. Absolutely.
How concerned were you? Like, I mean, certain news stories would break and you would change your behavior?
Yeah, I mean, there was stories where, people... like, for example, the rock group Queen, when Freddie Mercury died in 1991, I was afraid to even touch the CD in the record store because I was afraid I would get AIDS that way.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a pill for that. The mind is an amazing thing.
I suffer from obsessive compulsive disorders. I've been like this for at least 25 years. So, yeah. My mind plays games with me a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But it is amazing
the things that we can fear when there are real things to be afraid of out there.
Right.
And it's just you recognize the problem.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm so afraid of germs and contracting diseases, this and that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll probably die getting hit by a bus or something. You know, it's one of those types of things.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. Regarding the AIDS discussion, oral sex. If a woman performs oral sex on a man, a lot of times the condom is not utilized.
Right.
But you can get AIDS from oral sex, isn't that correct?
I got to be honest with you. I'm searching it right now because I'm not an HIV expert, although I've had quite a few patients that have HIV. My understanding is that the risk of HIV transmission during oral sex is low because the virus doesn't live well in saliva. Now, if the person performing oral sex as HIV, blood from their mouth can enter the body through the lining of the urethra, okay, you know, the tube in the penis or, you know, or vagina, the lining of the vagina or the lining of the anus, okay? If the person receiving oral sex is HIV, their blood or semen or vaginal fluid can contain the virus. And cells lining the mouth may allow HIV to enter the body if there are sores and stuff like that inside. If they've got cuts or sores or cold sores in the mouth, and those are the things I can think of.
Yeah.
So it's still okay. the risk in oral sex is far decreased from vaginal or anal sex, and even then the risk is pretty low on an incident per incident basis. In other words, every time you have sex, the risk is low. It's just a cumulative thing, you know, over time.
Right.
If you keep running that risk, then the odds of you getting the virus are higher.
Now, what if you were to smear AIDS-infected semen on a 40-year-old bald man's yeast infection? Now, what would the chances be of that?
Well, actually, the yeast infection causes a little bit of increased permeability of the skin, but not. I don't think that'd be enough to. I know it was a joke question. Here I am answering it seriously. What am I doing?
But no, now, Frank, you have skin that's more receptive and permeable right now, right under your bog sack.
Right. All right.
Well. I don't know. I hope Dr. Steve was able to answer a few of your questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And concerns.
You're giving out free medical advice a lot of the times. Do you feel that? I mean, should be paid for that? I mean, how do you feel about that?
No. I consider certainly the people that listen to XM202 and people who listen to your show and who are in this community of ours to be friends. And this is something that, you know, if you were a plumber and I had a plumbing question, you wouldn't have any problem answering my question. I just happen to be a friend who's got a medical degree, and the same thing with P.A. John. You know, we just enjoy doing this.
Right.
And, you know, the whole thing got it's a long story how it all got started, but I always felt that Ron and Fez and Opie and Anthony, all those guys just didn't get the credit that they deserved or they were treated the way that I thought that they should be deserved, given that I have a pretty grim job sometimes and they make me laugh. And it makes a huge difference in my life. I mean, a huge difference in my life. And, you know, they basically cured my depression because I was having a lot of issues, and then here comes XM Radio with these new shows, and it really made a huge difference for me. So for me, it's just payback, you know.
Right.
And I try to do. I don't have the answer to every question, but
sure.
You know, I enjoy doing it, and you know, I've always been a know-it-all, so you know, it feeds that part of my personality, I guess.
And
so.
do you feel that your medical peers, like a lot of the times the way you talk, you talk in layman's terms, which I think is great, not always using medical jargon.
Yeah.
Do you feel that, you know, like some of your peers would look down upon that and not be comfortable talking in that same fashion?
Yeah, I know my employer wouldn't understand my relationship with this community at all. So that's why, you know, I'm just Dr. Steve and not Dr. Steve with my last name, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think a lot of my peers really need to do better at communicating. One of the problems that we have in medicine these days is just communication with our patients, and patients are dissatisfied with medical care, and a lot of times it's not because they're paying too much. It's because, number one, they don't feel like they're being listened to, and number two, they don't understand what the doctor's saying when they do say something to them.
Right.
And we need to take more time with our patients, and we need to do a better job communicating. And when we do that, I think a lot of people's satisfaction with the medical profession will increase. And medical schools are teaching this stuff now, so you should notice that this stuff is getting better as time goes on.
All right.
Well,
it's drsteve.com and Weird Medicine on XM202. When's your next show?
October 18th.
October 18th, so mark your calendar.
We're actually going to be doing a Weird Medicine Addendum, which is where we sort of mop up and do housekeeping from the last show, because I always give out our email address during the show, and then we never get to a single one of the emails because we're just slammed and nervous and just can't figure it out how to get to the emails during the show. So we'll answer all of those emails before it's over, and we'll do an hour show on Saturday night on XM. In the next week or two, we'll have those questions answered in the Weird Medicine Addendum. It'll be on the pre-Saturday Night Virus section of, or, you know, Saturday
8 to 9.
Night. Yeah, 8 to 9, exactly.
All right. DrSteve.com, Weird Medicine on XM 202.
Thank you so much, Dr. Guys. Steve.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for diagnosing Frank's ass and balls.
Anytime.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you. Very interesting stuff. We're going to take a break here. It's the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak on Heroes Talk. Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show on HeroesTalk.com. Best in Show Radio is also broadcast on Heroes Talk every Sunday. Here's just a sample of what you will hear on Best in Show.
I have to go get an ultrasound on my neck tomorrow because I've had a sore throat since February. My doctor grabbed at my neck a little bit and she said, well, it doesn't feel swollen, but you should probably check for a mass or something on your neck there.
Who's praying in your neck?
Wait, so what happened? I'm trying to understand what's happening. So tomorrow you're going to the hypochondria clinic and they're going to charge you for something else to figure out if it's wrong? Figure out if there's nothing wrong with your nothing?
Well, the sore throat is real. I've had a sore throat. When I yawn, you have a rock in your ass. I have a rock in my throat.
I physically see the rock in my ass.
I can't look in my throat.
I guarantee you there's nothing wrong.
Well, I hope.
You want to bet? I bet you don't have throat cancer. If you have throat cancer, you're the winner, okay?
See, now I'm totally torn.
I want to win this bet, but I'd like to live. I'd like to not have a trach tube.
You just won the throat cancer lottery.
Best in Show Radio can be heard live every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on HeroesTalk.com and the Heroes Talk radio chat room on PalTalk. For past episodes, log on to HeroesTalk.com and grab the podcast. Best in Show Radio is proud to be a part of the Heroes Talk radio network.
The DJ New Style Show.
Casting live from Chicago! Yeah. Don't switch to here, Nick, because you're now listening to the DJ Arlovsky Show!
Andre Arlovsky.
Andre Arlovsky!
Yeah. I feel very good, thank you. I'm ready to defend my
Who's next?
Title.
Andre Arlovsky!
Has a message.
You're my love, you're my sweetest thing.
Hello. This is the Andrei Arlovsky, and I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm done bullshitting with you internet homosexuals who have taken to posting inaccurate newsies about me on your faggot blogs. Time and time again lately, I've seen more posts about me with animated video thumbnail picturegrams of Fabricio Werdum bitch-slapping me in my facials during second-to-last fight with UFC. What your picture video does not display is the entire 15 minutes of the fight, which resulted in me being declared the winner for landing two punches and dodging 237 tippy-tap face slaps. Also, I am here to announce for official Andre Arlovsky newsies that I have reached agreement with sexy girl first name owner of UFC, Dana White, that involves me never working for him again. I will not be returning to my position in UFC as fighter, and I will also not be returning to my position as audio gossip columnist on the DJ Arlovsky Show, because I have signed with the Afflictions for a contract totaling 3 fights, because after all, I am a fighter, it is my way, and I am here making promise to my fans tonight. In my stay at the Afflictions, I promise both of you that I will double my aggression from last UFC fightings and land a total of 4 punches, some of which to the faces. Mark my words, 4 punches, probably to the face. So stay tuned as I fight for only company that would have me, and also as I start boxing career with HBO's. No matter how I am involved, if I am fighting, I will prove it to be possibility for glass jaw cage fighter to be successful in hand-to-face combat. This is DJ Arlovsky, signing off. It was good, no? Play my music, get out!
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusive Tuesday night programming on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. The number to call is 316-768-4472. And it looks like we've got someone calling in already. So I'm going to fade that out professionally. Jeremy, I hope you had a good break, but I got to say, 316-768-4472, you're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
215.
Tilt 215? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Is that who it is?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
I'm a little disappointed here. You know, I tune into the DJ New Style Show, and who do I see co-hosting but the Germ Freak? You know, after the events of the last night, I hope to never see that fucker again on this show. After the disrespect he laid out in the Hear Us talk room and pal talk to you.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. We've always been friends. We've never had an argument. Isn't that right, Frank?
Oh, absolutely.
Never.
I don't know what
you're Never had an argument.
Till what you may have witnessed was a little bit of what we like to call play acting, where perhaps Germ Freak would pretend to be upset with me.
People, big fucking deal. Oh, you own a room. It's free. You own a fucking free room, you douchebag. They're free. Power talk rooms are free, jackass.
That sounds so magnificent over the phone.
Yes,
well,
good quality.
Thank you very much, Tilt. I assure you, no need to worry. It was all a dream.
No, I am worrying because I hate that fuck Germ Freak.
We used to read Word Up magazine. It's okay. So I'm pepper
Germ,
heavy
Germ,
deep
let me
in the
ask
limousine.
You a question, Germ. Can I address a question to Germ?
Yes,
go
please.
For it.
Germ, why is it that every time you see me, you ask me the same five questions over? What is your
first of all?
I've
why
never
don't we
met a guy?
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Why don't we go through
the questions here now? What are the five questions that he asks you, Tilt?
What is your first name?
And then the second one.
Are you really on hormones? How long have you been taking hormones? There's somebody that I really want you to meet. Would you talk to him if I can get him in here?
And it's the same thing every time. Frank, why are you obsessed? I mean, is this something like now we know that Tilt is experimenting with chemicals.
He's growing
to
breasts.
Reach some kind of a gender goal, I like to call it.
Right. Listen, I've only seen people undergoing sexual reassignment on TV and stuff like that. I've never actually met and spoken with somebody who's going through this, and I have a bunch of questions. I mean, is that so wrong?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It is a little bit wrong.
I mean, you're growing breasts, and I just was curious.
If you were the first bald person I've ever met, and I just constantly threw barrages of, hey, how come you have skin on the top of your head questions towards you, wouldn't you get a little bit upset after having answered it eight times?
I hope Tilt doesn't mind me saying this, but during the Dr. Steve interview, he PM'd me. And
no, I was just kidding with the PM.
Oh, I know. Well, I know. Okay.
Can you have it make sense for everybody who's listening, please?
Yeah, I just kept PMing him. I PMed him a few weird questions, like
he wanted me to ask Dr. Steve if discharge from your nipples is normal if you're taking hormones, and I didn't feel comfortable asking him that question. I'm sorry.
It might have been a little creepy. Till, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
You're going to China for the Olympics, correct?
Yes, sir.
I want you to take your Skype phone that I know you have. You have a phone that's specifically geared towards Skype, which we use for our phones. I want you to take it and hand it to a random Chinese when you arrive. And I just want to have a discussion. That's all. And
what if the random Chinese person doesn't speak any English?
That's even better.
Thank you, Tilt.
Okay,
we'll speak the international language.
the international language of really bad talk radio?
You son of a bitch. God damn you, Tilt. Well, anyway, a little
creepy. That was riveting.
A little creepy. A little creepy to me. I've never encountered somebody that that is unhappy with the gender they were handed. So I don't know how to react. I mean, it's one of those things that maybe are not terrible, but it's just one of those things that gets to me a little bit. Hearing you flounder and obsess over the same questions with him over and over, it just makes my skin crawl to the point where I feel like I'm going to have a crotch bog myself. My skin is going to fuse. Things are going to become embedded in
See,
my
that
sack.
Bothers me. What you're saying bothers me.
What is it? What bothers you?
Like things that fuse together. Like if you see somebody, like if you see like somebody's legs that were born, they were fused together. That freaks me out. It skeeves me out.
How often do you see that? How often do you see the mermaid person?
Well,
that's pretty rare. I'd have to imagine.
Well, just anything. Like if you see like sometimes you see like a two-headed animal or so, like a two-headed snake that are fused together.
So like conjoined twins would bug you. Like where they're joined at the face.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see that it should be two people, but the face almost looks like one.
It makes me cringe.
It makes me wonder which way they're going to run if they both get scared. That's what makes me wonder. I really don't know, Frank. I just don't know. You know, different people hate different things. I'm creeped out by you had shown me a video a while back, and it's been discussed all over the news. I think the guy's even been cured. But it's some guy from, like, Southeast Asia that looks like he's got a frayed wicker chair growing out of his feet. He's got, what did you say they were called? Horns? Some kind of horn?
They're cutaneous horns.
That is some kind of weird thing that only people in Asia get, because that is disgusting if you get those.
No, they're like skin. He's got like skin tags, but he's got a ridiculous amount of skin tags.
It's to the point where he looked like he had ninja armor growing out of his fucking shins. He looked like one of the one of the Muppets that fucking Tilt works with.
But it, like looking at something like that, it's just repulsive. He looked like Barb had mentioned, he looks like the trees from The Wizard of Oz, the tree people from The Wizard of Oz, the apple tree people.
Phone is ringing.
Oh, my God.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Tidbit 88.
Tidbit 88. What's going on?
I just wanted to add to the discussion of things that gross you out, or Frank would say skeeves you out.
Skeeves? What skeeves you out, Tidbit 88?
It's kind of weird, but things with lots of holes in them. Like if the holes in a sponge were like as big as like to put your pinky in them, shit that looks like that with lots of holes.
So
in
like,
it just freaks
like
me out.
Swiss cheese.
Yeah. If the holes were smaller, it would be worse though.
Oh, the smaller the hole, the worse it is. So like a Finlandia Swiss cheese where it looks like somebody took a fucking, see that was a crutch fuck. Frank, I want to let you know.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was. I was trying to think of the next word to say, so I said fucking, like I'm getting ready to rant and rave about how the Yankees are underperforming, or whatever. Fucking, A-Rod has to go off and have sex with that fucking whore. Yeah. Like Finlandia Swiss cheese, something that's got like really small holes in it, some kind of a mesh, or maybe even like a mesh football jersey or something like that.
Well, it has to be like a solid mesh, like when you could see the holes through other holes.
Oh,
like a coral, almost like
that. Now, why do you think that gets to you?
I don't know. It just gives me the chills. I have no idea why.
You were probably scrubbed down with Brillo when you were when you refused to bathe as a child. That's what Frank, have you ever heard anything like that? Being afraid of holes.
I can understand what he's saying. I once watched an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants where he had the suds. And can you hear me?
No, I'm just amazed that a 40-year-old would admit to watching SpongeBob SquarePants.
All right, you're aware I have three small children, aren't you?
You probably watched it at midnight and they were all asleep.
And SpongeBob had what's called the suds, and he would sneeze and little bubbles would come out of his friggin' sponge holes.
Would that...
And it makes me...
Now, you're saying that his disease was some kind of, like, soap-related disease. If that was, like, if that was possible, disease to be spread through soap, would that completely just turn your world upside down?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What would you
Don't
do?
Don't even say that. Don't even say that.
You see a hair on a bar of soap occasionally. There's got to be an edge on that hair that hasn't been cleaned, that is a breeding ground for some kind of really small bacteria, like extra small bacteria.
You know what also freaks me out are things that are embedded in other things. For example, I was watching a documentary on amphibians and frogs and the male frog, the eggs of the frog were embedded in the back of the female frog. Anything that's embedded, like partially stuck in something, like if somebody, like sometimes you'll see on TV somebody will jump into a wall and like he's partially in the wall and he's like stuck there and they'll pull him out and it makes that suction sound. That fucking gives me the willies, man. I hate that.
Sound effect in movies or TV that really gets me is the thud sound when Marty McFly falls out of the tree in Back to the Future and his head hits the road. It's like it makes a distinct thud noise. So like certain almost dull thuds kind of creep me out. Now, Tidbit, do you have any noises that bother you, something like that?
Yeah, that's kind of similar, like the sound of, like, when it's, like, a mushy sound, like if you punch into, like, a wet piece of meat or something, or, like, when they're stimulating someone,
like you fall off a wall.
Head or something.
Yeah, you fall off a wall, and it sounds like someone's squishing a mayo packet.
Yeah.
Something like that. Now your girlfriend is Barbara, a girl. Barbara.
Yeah.
Now, do you notice anything that you could do? Like, if you really wanted to creep her out, you could just go and get this, and it would completely just bug her out. Is there something like that you can go to just really bother her?
Well, I could go to spiders. She's insanely afraid of spiders.
So just spiders, whereas she can just go to the fucking sink and grab a sponge.
All I have to do is, like, look at the wall, like, I think there's a spider near her, and if she sees that look in my eye, she already is freaking out.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they can sense when you know there's a spider. Frank, do you have that? You have two daughters and a wife. If there's a spider, just mayhem.
Yeah, I mean, I
try to kill it without them knowing.
Believe it or not, I do not have a phobia for spiders. They don't bother me, but, yeah, I mean, you know, they scream or whatever, but, you know, that's most women do that, right?
I would say most women do. Do you have anything that you're scared of? Like any living creature that like would really
I'm
get to you?
I'm definitely afraid of worms.
Why worms? Worms are so harmless.
Because they're just blind and they live in the dirt and sometimes they have this secretion, this scummy secretion on their body. It's just
that's their worm jizz.
it's
they eat
it's,
and shit dirt. They eat dirt and they shit dirt. That's amazing to me. They can basically shit out food that they'll eat later.
I once saw a movie.
And you can rip them in half and that makes two.
That's right. Tear them in half and now you have two worms.
I once saw a movie. It was back in the 70s. The name of the movie was, it was just a bunch of S's. It was a capital S with like about five or six S's after it. And it was pronounced.
A classic.
You've seen that tidbit?
No one's ever had some kind of a onomatopoeia title movie.
Okay.
That comes out.
Anyway,
hey, have you seen?
Well, that's how it was. If you go on IMDb, you'll see it. Anyway, long story short. They had this one scene where this guy's face was just embedded with worms. So it had two of my fears. It had the things that were embedded and it had worms. And that made me sick to my stomach.
So apparently, was released in 1973 and it starred nobody.
There was somebody in there famous, I think.
Oh, that would be Struther Martin played the lead role. Yeah, he's really breaking some... some
bring
incredible
out
acting
for that
around.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you guys Netflix... Netflix... And Jeff, FM Jeff is saying that, hey guys, did you see... Just a really sarcastic comedy.
Wow. It's interesting.
You're the guy who brought up fucking... as a goddamn movie reference.
There was a scene in that movie. I used to like to drink something called egg creams.
Okay.
You've heard of that.
Egg creams? I'm really not familiar with that.
Okay, well, it doesn't make a difference. But anyway, there was a scene where there was a worm found in an egg cream, and ever since then, I couldn't drink egg creams
anymore. You ever had tequila?
No, I haven't.
Are you afraid of the tequila? Because sometimes there are alcohols that have worms in it, and it's often confused that tequila has a worm in the bottom.
It doesn't really have a worm in the bottom?
Tidbit, you know this. It's not always tequila.
I do. Like, it's authentic, they're supposed to have it, but most of it, like, Cuero doesn't have it.
Yeah, now have you ever seen the guy who's like, yeah, dude, I love tequila, and he has like the I ate the worm t-shirt?
Yeah.
Fucking losers. Now, that should be Frank. We should really, you want to learn some manly drinking habits, right, Frank? You don't want to just be the gay Mai Tai guy.
I'm happy with my Mai Tai.
No, you
want to
man it up. You need a strong role model for your son, okay?
You're not even getting drunk. You're paying, what are you paying them for, just to look like a fag?
Yeah, you're paying $8 for fucking Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah.
Hawaiian Punch with a little kick to it. So you should start drinking tequila, and I think to overcome your fear of worms, there should be a worm in one of the shots. You should be.
What about you, New Style? What kind of
flooding.
Animals
will
skeeve you out?
You know what would bug me out? Rats. Rats would bug me out.
About mice?
Mice don't bother me. They're little and they run from you. Rats, sometimes they become so brazen they don't even care that you're there. I worked at a place, Frank's Nursery and Crafts. I know, guys. Don't be impressed. Be impressed that I worked at Frank's Nursery and Crafts. I know. My resume and work history is stellar. But they had rats in the warehouse, and there was a point where they would run away. But after a while, when they got to be the size of like large rabbits, they just didn't even care that you were there. The manager of that place would frequently just go and look for rats. Like, he wouldn't do work. He would just look for animals that he could stomp on their head and kill and leave them there. He would leave the dead animals there to rot. But as long as he smashed their little heads, it was fine.
Did you ever see him do this?
One time, we were working in the warehouse, me and a buddy of mine that worked there, and I came across a glue trap. Now, glue traps normally have a lid, like a little cover. They're shaped like a tunnel, and the bottom is gluey to stick the vermin and all that. But this one was completely unfolded, and it was just a little piece of paper with glue, so anything could get in it. And I found that there was a bird trying to flap away. Little bird trying to get away. So I'm like, oh, this is terrible. This bird's going to, you know, be stuck here, whatever. I'll just go tell the manager, and then I'll go bullshit for another 3 hours, go home. So I'm like, yeah, hey, Larry, there's a bird stuck in a glue trap. I don't know, you know, if there's anything that we can do. But he's like, oh, yeah, no, it happens all the time. I'll take care of it. So he goes out there. Me and my friend are bullshitting while he's just looking. He goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. He's taunting the bird. All of a sudden, I don't know, he brings his knee up to his chest. Boom! Right on top of it. I fucking hate birds! And he walks out and goes to his office. Leaves this dead, stomped-on bird in the glue trap right there. It was pretty good. Pretty good to see that.
Yeah, that was a riveting story.
I'm sorry. Let's go back to all the riveting stuff that you've said. Why don't we do that?
As far as birds themselves, that birds kind of freak me out too.
Wow, that's riveting that you're scared of birds. You're 40 years old. You watch cartoons. You need to have gauze under your balls to fucking survive and not have a fused ass. That's hilarious.
Wow. Okay. And there's also something else that made me cringe as well. And this is something that was on what I call a pornographic site, which was linked right there. It's called The Biggest Pussy Ever.
Oh, that's intriguing.
Yeah. And it was this huge vaginal crevice, and some guy stuck his head in there, and it just made me cringe. It was just awful. So are you aware of that video?
I'm aware of it because you've been passing the link out for the past 3 days at least. But here we go. I'm going to play some of this. Maybe we can get some audio out of it.
Tell you something. I was at this circus sideshow. I saw this fucking freak you wouldn't believe. Her name is, I don't know, Grand Canyons or something like that. You gotta see this. You gotta see this. Come
on.
Wow.
Let's go, Frank. Let's follow him.
Come on. Come on, everybody.
Let's sneak in the back. Wow, this doesn't look like a movie set at all. Why is there music?
Is there Arlovsky's music?
Okay. All right. So, right now, there is a woman with a flesh-colored double whopper between her legs. Just
right.
Sitting there on a stool. You know, apparently she's in this movie studio that has a brick background that they couldn't finish. I saw cameras with canvas over them. And so I guess you're saying he's going to put his entire head into this.
Well, at the end of the movie, I guess the big finale is he puts, and this guy is creepy as all hell. He puts his friggin' head in there. It comes out all wet and glossy, and it was just made me want it. It was just repulsive.
You do realize it's fake, right?
That's not fake.
Oh, I'm sorry that you're so surprised that a vagina you could stick a large bald head into is not real. I'm sorry to shake it up here, but it's fake.
Do you think that's a fake vagina? That's not fake.
Tidbit, have you seen this video?
Yeah, it's definitely fake.
Of course it's fake. First of all, I don't know why I'd have to ask somebody with kids this, but have you seen a vagina, Frank?
Do you think that's fake?
Yes! It's fake! Come on!
I don't think so, dude.
The guy set it up like we were...
Like, roast you out?
Yeah, the guy set it up like we were sneaking into some kind of a sideshow. But we're
being... Come on, everyone, watch.
Yeah, check this out, man! You and me! We're the same. You can take this... Take this large vagina, you faggot fuck. It's definitely fake. It's prosthetic, Frank.
I don't know about that. All right, FM Jeff is an expert in pornography. FM Jeff, if you've ever seen that link, is that fake?
So he's having sex with this. I guess we have it on cam in the Pal Talk room. I guess now that we're talking about this, I have to include this in the summary for the podcast. I have to actually link to this. It's amazing. It is amazing. Frank, first of all.
Oh, so FM Jeff is saying he doesn't know if it's fake or not. And I have... FM
okay,
Jeff...
All right. Now, listen, Frank, what I'm asking is, I know that we all look at porno. We all watch porno. Tidbit, you watch porno. I watch porno.
Definitely.
Everybody does. What in the fuck makes you click on something with that thumbnail, that E.T. mouth with a dick in it,
it was
and the title, Biggest... Pussy ever.
It was the link was sent to me by somebody. I don't want to reveal the person's name though.
Well, who sent it to you? Is it someone?
Have you watched the whole thing too?
Yeah, you watched it through the end.
I fast forwarded through it.
Liar.
Sure.
I showed my wife it too, and she was utterly repulsed.
The thing is, Frank, you
look at that.
You start.
That's not Jeff. F Jeff. Is that fake, Jeff?
Okay, Frank, listen to me. Listen to me. She's obviously, she has her hand behind her. She's sitting on something. Okay? The thing is, now, listen. Listen to me, Frank. You saw what it was. Someone sent you a link. You started watching it. What made you skip to the end? If you truly skipped to the end. I think you watched the whole thing.
I wanted to see if it was
you were looking for the cum shot, you fucking faggot.
Get the fuck out of here.
You were looking for the money shot.
People are saying, look at her legs. What am I looking at her legs for? What's with the deal with her legs?
Why are we discussing a visual when nobody's going to be watching this because everybody has better taste? I think it's disgusting that you've clicked on this and kept watching it, and you watched it to the end. Tid, but do you think he skipped through?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm guaranteeing you watched it to the end, Frank. I think you're lying.
Look at something called Biggest Pussy Ever. Why is he gonna skip through?
I mean, you gotta see
it.
Get it in
all its glory.
So, do you think the legs are fake?
Some David Copperfield shit.
Yeah, there's something going on there.
All right. Well, I was duped, I guess.
Yeah, you were duped.
I apologize.
You were duped. It's definitely.
Oh God!
Stop watching it. He's doing like when a new diver goes off a board and they put both their hands out in front of him like they were praying. He's doing both of that with both arms. He's doing both arms into the vagina. Halfway to the elbow, too. And Frank, you're wondering if this is real.
All right, you know what? I guess I was duped.
You were
I'm
duped.
Sorry.
And
whatever.
I think a part of you was hoping that it was real.
No, I didn't want to.
No! You were hoping that it was
like
real.
Three times.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a question for you.
Oh.
So did that, did the video with the elephant where the guy gets his ass stuck, his head stuck up the elephant's ass, does that gross you out too?
Oh, so the guy is behind an elephant and all of a sudden the elephant backs up and his head goes in his ass?
Yep.
Yeah, I watched it, but I saw it when it had the goofy Bob Saget. Ooh, here's an elephant! Oh, America's funniest home videos, you've done it again.
All right, look at it. He comes out, his head is all wet and slippery, so it's got to be, he had to have it somewhere in there.
He's grabbing her hips, and he's kind of pulling forward, shifting his weight forward like he's about to go launch himself on parallel bars. Instead, he's forcing his head into her obviously fake vagina. I'm telling you, there's some deep down desire for you to have that be real. You really hope that there are
no, I didn't. I was glad
large.
It wasn't real because I was repulsed by it.
So that
whatever.
Really that really creeped you out? No, that really creeped you out?
I found it repulsive and nauseating, yes.
Now, what if we reversed it? What if the girl goes, hey, you have to see this. You've never seen a dick like this. Would you tell me that you accidentally fast-forwarded to the end? Or would you have watched the entire thing? And then some guy with a fucking 3-liter Pepsi bottle cock. I can't believe he's got that. It's got to be real. They can't do that type of things. They can't do that type of thing. You and me.
Well, everything's real.
Yeah, you are easily duped. I mean, do you generally give people the benefit of the doubt with their effects? Do you like to believe that it's real at first?
I'm very gullible.
You never question it. You see it and say, hey, you know, that could be real. Like, if you think it could be, you want to believe it is.
I suppose so.
Yeah, that's why you like the big pussy. That's why you like the big
pussy? I didn't like it. I was repulsed by it. I told you that.
You clicked on it, though. It's a big pussy, largest pussy ever.
Everybody
clicked
said to
on
me,
it.
God damn it.
The link is not obscure. The link is efucked.com/1638, biggest_pussy_ever. Uncut. So there could be some uncut dick in it. Or it's
right,
just
you know
a director's version.
Can we move on, please? You know?
Yeah, okay. Fine. Tidbit, do you have anything else you'd like to say,
thank
Frank?
You.
No. Just that Frank likes giant pussies.
Well, now don't project anything on Donna. I'm sure she has a human-sized one, and I don't want to talk about it because you know we're friends. I don't want to talk about that. But I think you're doing some kind of weird thing there. Tidbit, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you as always.
Oh yes, my pleasure as well. My pleasure as well, Frank. I think I'd like to have FM Jeff on. Did you talk to him? Maybe clue him in that he should be calling in.
Yeah, I was wondering if FM Jeff could call if he's not too busy.
I mean, there's a little thing that we like to do.
Dog. His dog. What's his dog's name? I forget again. I don't
Pronto.
Know. Pronto.
He loves that dog.
He loves that dog a lot.
Well, you love your dog, right?
I do love my dogs.
Amazing. I don't think you do.
316-768-4472.
You're on the DJ News Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
It's me.
Is it FM Jeff?
It's me.
See, that type of voice is the voice that I would expect to hear if that large fake vagina could speak.
Ken, you've been doing some stuff on the side, haven't you, News Style?
What are you talking about?
Well, you've been doing a little stuff on the side with the guitar, isn't that true?
I have, but I would like to go into it like we planned. So why don't we just start this little thing here? Just give me a second, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Germ Freak Radio presents...
Is It Gay?
Oh, wouldn't you guess that it's that time of the show? Yes. That time of the show where Frank likes to go through a few of the things that he is not sure whether they are gay or not. FM Jeff, lovely to have you on the show tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
Frank, why don't we start off with the first thing? We'll go through this, and then we'll get that.
Yeah. Okay. Is it gay for a guy to drink Tab or Crystal Light
Tab or Crystal Light? FM Jeff, what do you think?
Tab the cola?
Yeah, like, yeah. Frank, I've heard of Tab. I don't really know. I think it's geared towards women. Didn't it have, like, an ad campaign for women?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was, absolutely.
Do you know the,
I thought it was just soda for the poor.
No. Soda for the poor, that was a splurge. and not too many people did. Frank, what, you know the jingle, don't you?
Well, it was, you know, tab, cola for beautiful people. That was the jingle. But I remember seeing this commercial back in the late 70s and early 80s.
So you're asking if the cola for beautiful people would be gay for a man to drink?
Yes.
Jeff?
Well, being one of them, I would say no.
He is a beautiful person. So for him, no. I'm going to say it's gay. I don't need beverages declaring themselves to be for beautiful people.
I drink Crystal Light, though. I do.
That is a little embarrassing. You have to open a little packet and stir it in each time you want a beverage.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen them. You know why? Because I work with 70-year-old women, and they all have their Crystal Light packets. What's your favorite, the yellow or the pink?
I like the pink lemonade.
See that? Even gayer. You've picked the gayest of the Crystal Lights. Wouldn't you agree, Jeff? Pink would be the gayest of the Crystal Lights.
What do you define as a masculine drink? Is it a drink full of nails? I mean, it's just a beverage.
I want a glass full of yelling and pain. I don't know. We know that Chris from Best in Show has been known to use Crystal Light as a mixer with his vodka beverages. I don't hold that against him. However, I have the association of Crystal Light being an old lady. I need to try to get in some kind of shape. I got to drop 5 pounds and I'm 90 and female. Well, let me drink Crystal Light.
Rob Giggs mentions passion fruit vodka. I think the passion fruit in general is gay.
Yeah. Passion fruit. there's no guy like you didn't. There was no way a lumberjack with an axe happened upon some mystical orchard of these strange fruits, and he's like, "God damn, you know what? This is a passion fruit." like Paul Bunyan or whatever he was, or Johnny Appleseed. They all had the apple, all that crap, manly fruits like that. But the passion fruit. Come on, Frank. Have you ever enjoyed anything that had a passion fruit flavor?
No, I don't like passion fruit. No, I don't like passion fruit. No, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure I'm saying that Crystal Light and Tab are gay. Jeff, you're saying you don't really classify.
I'm gonna say not gay. I think it's just a beverage.
Just a beverage. So a pina colada with half semen in it. Just a beverage. Moving on. What's the next one there, Frank?
Is it gay for a guy to use feminine or female deodorant or shampoo because his ran out and he's utilizing somebody else's, such as his wife?
Okay. If I'm out of deodorant or out of shampoo, I'm going to be using whatever I can get. I'd rather be clean and smelling like fucking primroses than smell like a sewer. I don't want to ever smell like Germ's crotch situation. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, they say it's strong enough for a man, and I think if they're going to make that claim, I feel obligated to prove it as a man. And I have, and yes, actually it is indeed strong enough for a man.
Well, we know that.
But no, I don't think it's... I don't think it's yet.
We know that our buddy Raph, Frank, doesn't he use...
Yeah, Raphael from Connecticut.
I mean, it'd be great if we can get him on the phone, but the thing
he
is...
He doesn't... Unfortunately, he's a little shy tonight. He doesn't want to call in.
Oh, that's okay. He uses some of his wife's stuff.
I think if you buy him by default, it's gay.
Right.
Like, if you see two choices and then you opt for the female version, that's gay.
Let's see. Pert Plus...
In a pinch...
Or Herbal Essences... I've got the urge to herbal boy. Take this to the firehouse. But yeah, you're saying that, that Raf likes to use some of his wife's stuff, Frank?
He uses female products by choice, even though he doesn't have to. He uses female deodorant, and he uses some other female products as well. Now, let me say that Raphael is a heterosexual. He's married to a lovely young woman.
Well, why don't we pause for a second and say hello to Raphael from Connecticut? How are you tonight, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Okay, so please explain yourself.
With wearing women's deodorant.
Yes. Is this something that you do in out of necessity? You run out of your man deodorant, so you go over to the wife's supply and rub that on for a bit.
All right. It happened like this. I ran out of deodorant, and instead of smelling like fucking Campbell's soup all day,
he's twisting it.
I use my wife's deodorant, and it smelled good.
Okay.
And then I had.
So then you liked the way it smelled, and you kept using it.
Yes. Plus, of all the other men's deodorant I've used in the past. This doesn't stop working. It's 24-hour protection. And
now Ralph, haven't you already? Ralph, is it true that you once said that you utilized your wife's vanilla flavored body cream?
That would be Bath and Body Works French vanilla shower stuff.
Now, why did you use that? And now that's not out of necessity. You don't need bath cream. What were you trying to do?
Well, I got tired of using Irish Spring, and
by the way, Pincus Flamble brings up a good point. How are you sure it's vanilla flavored, or is it just scented?
Whatever, it's scented. Oh. Okay,
what kind of fucking Jack Shack are you buying this shampoo at?
All right, but listen. All right, there's nothing wrong with a man taking care of himself. And I don't mean jerking off. I mean smelling nice. Well, I do it for myself, and I do it for my wife. My wife seems to enjoy it.
Okay.
And that's all that matters. I mean, I have three loofahs that are designated to me in the shower.
Three?
One for the face. What? Well, we got one for the face, one for the body, one for the ass. That's in the bottom. That's the brown one.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever confused the face and the ass loofah?
Never. Never.
Are they color coordinated?
The brown one is the ass one, he said.
But it's not brown because of doo-doo. It's brown in color naturally. And wait, did
he just say doo-doo?
Yes, doo-doo butter. Doo-doo butter. So that's what the kids are calling it. My name, yeah, doo-doo brown.
Oh, that's what all the cool kids are saying these days.
That's true.
Doo-doo.
So I agree.
There's nothing wrong.
I agree. There's nothing wrong wanting to take care of yourself, but I kind of take a little bit of an pause at somebody saying that. Hey, to take care of myself, I need to smell like a birthday cake or a rose field. I don't know. There's taking care of yourself, and then there's making you smell like a sachet.
But I wear Gucci cologne for men, so it's not like I'm wearing my wife's perfume or anything. And I'm smelling my arm right now, man.
All right. Well,
I wish I could eat myself pretty much.
Well then, Frank, let me add to your bit a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, Germ Freak Radio presents.
Is it gay?
That's right. Is it gay to in taking care of yourself? Rub on a flowery scent that you really don't need. You choose a scent that is flowery and womanly. Is it gay? We'll go with Germ first. Germ, what do you think?
Anything flowery is gay. Anything.
Jeff?
Is it made by secret?
That's a good question, Ralph.
Because I gotta wonder, you know, what's the secret?
The secret is that they've found the formula to make it not gay. So if it's secret, it's okay. Raph, is it by secret?
It's not gay, no. Is my deodorant by secret? Yes, it is.
Okay,
Platinum.
All right,
it's Secret Platinum. It's not just bootleg secret. It's Secret Platinum.
I didn't know that Jamaicans were laying out bootleg versions of a secret deodorant on bed sheets on the sidewalk next to Love Guru DVDs.
Okay. And next to the fake Rolexes.
All right, Raph. I'll go with you, and I'll say not gay, but I'm not gonna partake in the flowery sense. I'll bail you out on that one.
I have a question. I have a question for you guys. Then is it gay for a man to get his nails done every now and then, little polishing and?
Do you ever have to have those little styrofoam or cotton ball things between your toes or fingers when you're getting them done?
It depends. It depends on who does it. Usually, if the Oriental girl does them, she doesn't have to put the little foam applicators in. If the Munyam, I apologize to all our black listeners out there, she's a little sloppy. She's got to put the spacers in there because she can't get... she can't do a good enough job.
Okay, all right. What's the verdict, guys?
I'm gonna have to say, if you have to extend your hand so that your fingers are outstretched while someone paints on an applicator, then that is definitely gay.
Okay, and Frank,
that's what Jeff just said. It hits it right on the head.
Yeah, I gotta go with that. So you're one for two. I'll give you one for two, Raph.
Okay, so I'm
you're like AC Deuce tonight.
You're bisexual.
A little bit of AC Deuce.
I wouldn't call it bisexual. I guess our friend Jimmy Spickle has pointed out I am very much metrosexual, I guess.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Whatever gets you to sleep tonight.
Can I ask him a question?
Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
What's the problem with having rough nails? I mean, as a man, don't you take pride in that roughness?
Not. It's just disgusting to look in there and see all the white shit in there, and it's just you gotta make them nice.
I want my nails to look like that of a welder's. I want my fingers to look like I've been welding all day. Like maybe I accidentally burnt one of them off.
Working
man. Yeah, even though I'm not, I want him to look like that. Well, Raph, thank you very much.
Thank you for making me not as gay.
You're not as gay. I'm gonna say you're not as gay, and I you know what? You're really not gay, but from what you the behavior you're describing,
we'll get into this in another episode because
you may not like
even Butler called you a fag.
Here it is. You may not like cock, but your qualifications are in line. I'm just saying. I know you don't, but you
He's
could.
Raph, you know what? He's met the prerequisites.
Yes, but you're not.
Raph,
unbelievable. Raph, he's going to kill me.
I didn't hear that. What?
Do you shave your pubic hair?
That's a little gay to ask a dude. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't shave my legs and my arms.
You have shaved your armpits before. True or false?
I do shave my armpits. I do a little manscaping. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Right now it's in a diamond shape. Like I'm playing the game of Sims, I get a little diamond right above my junk here.
Do you whistle while you shave your arms?
My wife kind of helps me a little bit. I do have something. Let me say something. I'll let you guys go. Listen, all right. I was manscaping last week, okay? And I haven't done it in a while. So I was using scissors. And I was trying to trim it down before you start raising up, you know? And I accidentally cut my bag with the scissors. It bled profusely for 5 fucking hours. I was standing in the tub crying. I honestly thought I had to go to the emergency room and get stitches. How embarrassing would that fucking be? To cut your own bag open with scissors. I didn't nick it. I cut it. Like you're cutting fucking construction paper in school. So with that said, guys, I'm punching out.
Oh, well,
because I don't want to make myself any more gayer than it already sounds.
Well, you did say you did this for your wife, so that kind of qualifies you. Thank you very much for calling
in,
Raph.
Thank you, Raph.
Jesus.
Did he say coming out or punching out?
I don't want to even get... you know what? I'm a visual guy. I don't need to picture diamond-shaped pubes and scissor-related sack bleeding while crying in a tub. I've already done it tonight. Jerm, what's the next one on your list?
Okay, just a couple more. Is it gay for a man to call another man his best friend forever? BFF.
Now, to call him best friend forever or the acronym?
Yes.
No, I mean, which one?
BFF.
Oh, so is it gay to call him the acronym BFF?
Correct.
I'm going to say absolutely. Jeff, what do you think?
100%.
Any guy that has a BFF is probably talking about the fag hag he's befriended that he's either living with or shops with.
Is it gay to have a best friend?
You know what? That's a great question. I think it might be gay to have a best friend. Some people
might. You're my best friend.
You're my best friend. Let's go and pick out some drapes and secret deodorant. Not the bootleg kind. What do you think, Frank? Is it gay to have a best friend?
I don't think you should call him a good friend, not a best friend, a good friend.
Now, is it possible for a guy to have a best friend?
A guy can have whatever he wants to have. Just
a
no matter
straight
what
man.
I suppose, but I think the term should be called good friend rather than best friend.
But Frank says it is possible to be straight and have a best friend, a BFF. So, Frank, who is your BFF? Is it Raph?
No,
because
I said good.
We've heard some stories tonight.
I said good. I don't. I never used the term best since I was 6 years old. For Christ's sake.
Okay. By the way, Raph completely not gay. All right.
Oh,
he's a friend of our show. A friend in person. Not gay. But come on, you don't need to smell like lilacs. What's next on the on the list?
Well, I want. Can we go into the instrument discussion?
Well, what's the question?
Well, do you feel that there are some musical instruments that are gay if a man plays them, Jeff? I.e., is it gay for a man to play the flute or the triangle?
What's the gayest instrument a guy can play?
I'm thinking the triangle or the tambourine.
The triangle. Bing. Jeff, what do you think about that?
The gayest instrument a guy can play.
Yes.
I would say the lute.
The lute.
I don't even know what the lute is. I know I hear it a lot, but I don't know what kind of instrument
it's like
that is.
What wandering minstrels played in like the Renaissance time. And what currently like office clerks play when they dress up and pretend that dragons are being slayed just miles outside of their little fair.
But if, as far as instruments in general, are there some instruments that should only be played by men and some by women? Because even when I see a woman playing the drums, it still creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah, when I see it's a little bit odd. It's something like I don't think that should happen. Like when I see a drummer singing while playing the drums, that just seems unnatural to me.
Absolutely.
But when I see like I don't know Meg White playing the drums. What does she even do? Bass drum snare? Like,
right.
I don't know. Jeff, what do you think about that? Female drummers? Good?
I think it's kind of hot, actually.
You think it is?
I had an ex-girlfriend who was a drummer, and, you know, whenever I saw her play, you know, it really turned me on, actually.
Maybe that, like a sort of a role reversal type thing? Maybe she's got the power now? She's keeping the beats? Is that what's
no,
good for you?
Yeah, she's I like to see good female musicians. You know what I mean? Like when a girl is really good at a particular instrument, there's just something sexy about that. Like you know, like a good female guitarist. Like I remember when Courtney Love was popular, and I just thought it was so hot that she had that sort of male swagger about her playing. But yet it was a woman, and she had like a femininity to it. But it was sort of dirty and sexy at the same time. I really get into that, actually.
Now, Jeff,
why don't we break it down by instrument type?
Yeah, if we could just
woodwind,
do that real quick.
Percussion, brass, and strings.
Percussion, to me, is always a masculine type of... is always masculine. Percussion is masculine.
Okay, so you don't think there should be women drummers?
No, except for...
What about the tom-tom?
The tom-toms.
The piano is a percussion instrument. So
or what about the little drum in Karate Kid 2? I think that was a little bit gay to play that.
Listen to me.
Isn't it the one that you push your hands backwards and forwards and you shake it around and around, those little like strings with the beads on the end?
Yes. You have to make it.
I had one of those.
I had one too, because I went to a flea market in 1987 and that's all they ever sold. They sold brass figurines and those friggin' Karate Kid 2 drums.
Ken.
Oh, Frank, I'm sorry. Yes.
I apologize. Listen, real quick. With the exception of the piano, which, as you know, is a percussion instrument, all other percussion instruments should be played only by men.
Sure. Now, what about woodwinds?
Woodwind, with the exception of bagpipes and saxophone. Saxophone, by the way, is a woodwind instrument. Don't argue with it. With the exception of those, everything else is female.
I love the notion that I would argue with you, like get into a fist fight over the membership of a saxophone in the woodwind family.
Okay, because you think of saxophone as being a brass instrument. All right, brass instruments, with the exception of the French horn, they are all male instruments.
Well, take that, ska bands with the with female horn players. Were there any? I don't know. Jeff, do you know of any ska bands that had female horn players?
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Most of them had female leads, but not female musicians.
Yeah. Well, okay, Frank, what were you going to say next?
And the last one we've discussed is woodwind, percussion, brass, the strings. Harp, violin is female. Everything else is male.
So you'll never see a male violinist?
You will see it. But it's a little fruity.
But you think he's gay because he can play the violin? God,
when you were in Russia, he's
gay, apparently.
When you were in grammar school...
I don't think it's gay. I think it's... go ahead, sorry.
When you were in grammar school and a boy played the violin or the flute or the clarinet, he was always made fun of a little bit, let's be honest.
Well, the cool instruments when band was offered to kids, I guess in like third grade or whatever, was like the saxophone and the drums. And if your school had guitars, that was like the number one coolest thing. The flighty kids would pick like the oboe, the clarinet, or the flute. But I think the hierarchy was, now correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff or Frank, guitar, drums, saxophone, trumpet, as far as the coolness and acceptability for a guy.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, now you see, yeah. You always had the guy that played the flute or the clarinet, though. And then he was playing something else a couple years later.
Well, the thing is...
Yeah, but a lot of times, especially in my school, like, it was first come, first serve. So if you didn't get there early enough to get the guitar, you know, you were going to get the trumpet. And that's how I learned to play trumpet, because unfortunately that was all that was left by the time I got there.
Yeah.
The thing with the flute and the clarinet, there was nothing more gayer than seeing a guy carry that little flute case. It's so fucking feminine and gay. I mean, honestly. But when you see him carry that big fucking...
It does look like a purse. I agree, Jerry.
It's a purse-suitcase hybrid. It's really skinny. You have to carry it by that little handle. There's no way you can make it look cool. Like, maybe you could prop it up like you're marching with a rifle or something, but that's the best you could do.
And Ken, don't you
put like Metallica stickers on it.
yeah, I'm gonna Slayer and Metallica, man, on my flute case. Yeah, there's no fixing that situation.
Right.
Well, it's even worse for the guys who played the piccolo, which is an even smaller version of the flute. They so it would look like those little bags that girls have when they go out to clubs.
it would come with a gay chihuahua you could put in the case. Just wear over your shoulder while you're picking out dresses. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Frank, do you have anything more for...
clincher of all clinchers.
What was the bit we were playing? Let's see.
Is it gay?
Oh, that's right. It was Is It Gay? It stemmed in some weird instrument thing. Do you have anything more for this?
Is it gay for a guy to sing?
Is it gay for... I don't think it's gay for a guy to sing.
Is it gay for a guy to sing to another guy?
Well, wait, Jeff, do you think it's gay for a guy to sing?
All right, let me first say this. I've taken the word gay away from homosexuals. It's now my word. And I define the word gay as anything embarrassing to a macho man.
Not typical of masculinity.
A little effeminate.
Effeminate is not a word, by the way.
Effeminate.
Effeminate.
Effeminate. whatever. You know what I mean.
Effeminate isn't a fucking word, and you've said it for the last 40 episodes.
Let me just 1 second, Jeff. I want to digress. DJ New Style has taken on what he likes to call shitty cover versions. DJ New Style has become a singer, people.
I've been singing and playing guitar for a while, but what I've done is I've decided that with the advent of this iMac that I use for a camera, I was going to maybe put some of my songs on YouTube. And what I wanted to start with was cover songs of songs that I really liked and respected. So knowing that I'm not that great of a guitarist and vocalist, I called them shitty covers. And it's,
I disagree, by the way, on both assessments.
Oh, boy. We're getting into some issues here. But that's shittycovers.tumblr.
Okay, now that's Tumblr,
dot Tumblr.com. Shittycovers.tumblr.com. So Jeff is disagreeing with my qualification of them being silly, well, now,
Jeff,
or shitty, Jeff, rather.
If I could just set it up real quick, Jeff. Jeff, you were watching these. You were watching Ken's video a couple nights ago, and you were saying how you felt awkward watching Ken sing.
Is it gay? Is it gay to enjoy watching another man singing?
Well, I mean, Ken said it to me as a point of pride, like, you know, look what I did. And
exactly.
I watched him serenade, well, me. And I felt a little uneasy, like, cause, you know, because when you listen to someone sing, you kind of imagine that they're singing to you. And the thought came into my head, like, if I was sitting in Ken's room and no one else was in the house and I was listening to him play, that'd be kind of gay.
Definitely, and that feeling is evident if that situation arises. Like in school, when I was first learning to play, I would talk to this dude in my class about how I'm learning guitar or whatever, and he's like, "Yeah, dude, I'll check out, you know, see how you play or something." So he came up to my dorm room. We were gonna go and go get lunch, and he sits on my roommate's bed. He's like, "Yeah, man, jam out," and I'm like, "It's just us in this." In this fucking room. Dude, I'm not going to serenade you. Like, I instantly recognize that as that, like, if I had gone through that, that would be a gay situation. So I'm like, I got to go. You got to get out of here. I got shit I got to do. No, this isn't happening. I'm not going to serenade you and play.
I remember when I was a kid, like, whenever I'd go to camp, there'd be the counselor or one of the older people that would bust out a guitar and sing More Than Words. And that person was always gay. And all the girls would gather around and listen to his sweet angelic voice. And it just occurred to me, like, maybe it's not just this guy. Maybe just everyone who sings to another person, if they're a guy singing to another guy, is gay. In some small way. Not to say that they're gay entirely, but, like, the act of entertaining another man can be interpreted as gay.
Now, I don't know that I necessarily, first of all, I don't know that I necessarily recorded these videos for the sole purpose of pleasing dudes. I just wanted to showcase some talent.
You wanted to please your audience, and your audience, in my case, was a man.
Oh, God. No, you're not gonna pigeonhole me and my guitar playing ability into some kind of gay corner. That's not gonna happen here. Frank, what's your opinion on all
well,
this?
Well, I mean, when you were a kid in grammar school or what have you, or even junior
Where's
high.
Grammar school.
Well, listen to me. I'm trying to make a point here. if a kid sang in grammar school or before you reach puberty, the kid was considered fruity. You know what I'm saying? If a kid sang, he was considered fruity. But then all of a sudden, in high school, you're into the music and it's not so much fruity anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying, sir?
Like if you were in the choir or the chorus?
Yeah. When a boy is in the choir in grammar school, he's considered a little fruity. I mean, honestly.
Were you ever in the chorus or choir?
No, I was not.
Liar.
No, I was not.
Liar. Sing. Why don't you sing a couple bars of Stout Hearted Men for us? Go ahead. Belt it out. You believe me, you just sang the tab jingle to us about maybe 15 minutes ago. Is it gay? Is it gay?
It was really nice, by the way. It was
lovely. Is it gay to sing a song to express what the song is to somebody else who doesn't remember it? For example, they're like, "Hey, have you ever heard the tab jingle?" Like, "No, I don't know what that is." Oh, it's for faggots and people who are thirsty. I don't know what the song is, Frank. Is it gay to resort to singing to somebody else to get them to understand what you're talking about?
Jeff?
You're asking me?
I was asking yes. Frank, but Frank is now deflecting to you.
No, no. absolutely.
You think it is? Well, that's what you've done.
I apologize.
So you've exhibited a little gay behavior tonight.
I would say singing jingles in general is probably a gay.
Okay.
Frank, what company was the yellow and where it went and brushing teeth? I don't know how that one went. When do you? Is that Pepsodent? Do you remember? No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, now you don't.
I don't know.
Minutes after the show ends, you're going to be.
Who makes that bologna, Frank? Yeah. Who makes that bologna?
You're not getting me.
Frank, do you have a bologna with a proper name?
Listen, let's get back
perhaps
to the
perhaps a German
right
one?
Could you spell it, maybe?
I'm not falling for that. No way.
Frank, have you ever heard of a farmer with a dog? With
yes.
A very, what was his name-o?
I'm not falling for it. We all know who Bingo is, but listen to me.
What?
We all know who Bingo is.
How do you spell that?
B-I-N-G-O, and Bingo was his name-o.
Raggot.
All right, listen. That's gay right there. Let's get to the point of it.
Can I ask Ken a question?
Yes, please go ahead.
All right, were you in a band when you were in high school?
I was in like the school band in fourth grade when everybody was.
I mean, like a garage band.
Never.
I was in. All right, and I'll tell you why I'm asking. Because I was in a ska band when I was in high school.
What did you play?
I was a backup vocalist and bass guitar.
Okay.
So I was the guy that would go, But I remember like, it got really gay, like, because we'd be singing around, like, playing our respective instruments, and someone would start playing something, a guitar, and then another guy would go, ooh, keep playing that. That sounds good.
Oh, man. And what would be worse, I would imagine that in practice you'd have to harmonize with another dude, and it could just be both of you. Like, it could be nobody else, just the two of you together practicing your harmonies.
What about when guys sing, two guys sing on the same microphone? I always found it to be a little, even rock stars, they're singing on the same microphone.
Yeah, your boy Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora sometimes are known to
whatever.
Do that.
So are most people.
Yeah, well, they're all homos. From, according to
well,
what
isn't
you
that
just
the
said.
Thing though? Like they all talk about the relationship between the lead vocalist and the guitarist having some sort of connection on stage, like a masculine connection. And you'll often see like Steven Tyler, you know, rubbing backs against what's his name?
Joe Perry. You should just go the extra mile and pull down his fucking drawers and plug him one. During Pink, it would really hammer the point home that it's his favorite color.
Well, a lot of times in those pictures, especially with the hairband pictures, you see the guys, you know, like have their arms around each other and giving each other like headlocks. And I always found that to be a little fruity.
And you loved every single one of them.
That's also another perfect example. Like, never did the truth of the homosexuality of music be so obvious as during the 80s when guys would actually go out dressed like women with makeup and hairspray,
right?
And dressed
very good.
In very tight skin clothing. Wow. That to me was like rock bands, you know, finally coming out and saying this is what we are.
And yet, after that period, you still decided to start a band. Oh man, Frank, were you ever in a band or ever had an interest in starting a band?
I was never in an official band. You know, you play, you know, somebody who plays guitar or something, and you jam out for a few
hours. Were you on
hours,
the ones
but,
and twos? What instrument did you play?
I played the drums.
Oh, a little tippy tap here and there.
Well, there you go.
Amazing. Amazing. So all what's right. The verdict? Singing to entertain, not necessarily singling out another dude? I would say, like the question was posed. Well, the question
isn't drumming called playing with the skins?
It is. But the question was posed before, like if it was just you and like a really famous lead singer from a band was in the, it was you and him were alone and he starts singing for you. Is that gay? I mean, like if Bono is in your bedroom singing to you. That's pretty gay, isn't it? Or is it the fact that, hey, he's Bono, this is pretty amazing? Does that override that?
I mean, if it's off Joshua Tree, I guess it's not gay. But everything else.
If he's singing Discotheque, that's a little bit gay. But Joshua Tree, anything from there is okay.
You know, if he's thinking about the persecution of the Irish and, you know, Sunday, Bloody Sunday and whatnot, that's not gay. But, now, you know, he had some real, I mean, beautiful day. It's a beautiful day!
Like, okay, Frank, if Bon Jovi were to say, hey, let's go into your basement together, into your little small office, and I'll sing whatever Bon Jovi song you want to hear for you. Would you take him up on that?
If he's saying, I'll be there for you, is that what you're referring to?
I'll be there for you. These 5 words I swear to you. And he's going to pretend that your cock is a microphone, and he's going to expect that some other dude sings into it with him.
Now, last night, you and FM Jeff, into the wee morning of the night, were singing to each other on Pal Talk, were you not?
This is the thing that Irish Alky...
Jeffrey used to work on the dial!
This is the thing that Alky, Jeff, and I will do. We will make up songs about Lee Mel's sleeves, or lack thereof, and create parodies to popular songs. I don't think there's anything gay about that.
Is it not gay, it's a completely nationally renowned bit that no one's ever heard.
It's completely gay. We're singing about a somewhat burly electrician who doesn't wear sleeves. I just realized that's the most homo thing you could probably ever do. It's pretty gay. Jesus. But back to my point, would you accept, Frank, if Bon Jovi wanted to do that for you?
Yeah, I would.
The French Rogue is like bad medicine.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. We just discovered that Germ is gay for Bon Jovi, and that's okay. Thanks to Dr. Steve. Go to drsteve.com. Check out Weird Medicine on XM202 October 18th. There'll be a little recap show before that, where we'll follow up on some of the emails. Thanks to Tidbit88. Raphael from Connecticut, and everybody else involved. Germ, do you have anything you want to say?
Thank you to Tilt as well. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
A little bit windy.
Well, I appreciate that.
But that's okay. Thank you. Frank, say something.
Hello! Mom's little baby loves shortening, shortening.
Frank, you're gay singing? Is not getting edited out. Good night, everybody! Good night!
Good night, ladies and gentlemen!